This is Poppin' Crap, episode 9. Welcome to episode 9 of Poppin' Crap. I am Paul French, and today I am going underground. I'm coming to you from my basement, and the theme's starting again.
He's on the lamb. He's hiding out.
I'm on the lamb. Yeah, see?
The call is still coming from inside the house, though.
That's right. Yes. Yes, indeed it is. Indeed it is. And you, sir, are?
I am Scott Hollows. Hello again.
Huzzah.
Hi, Paul. How's your world?
You know, it is very 2018. I was proud of myself last week when I, you know, had to write a check for a thing, and without fail, I wrote 2018, and nice. I was quite pleased with myself. I thought, well, dodged all of that, and then last night I was filling one out for the kids' cub camp, and the dreaded 7, which became the dreaded 8, made from a 7.
There was a meme going around Facebook last week that was me for the next 3 months, and it was a badly altered 7 into an 8.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I wish I could say I was doing that well. Sarah had to stop me from throwing out milk the other day because it was best before January 29th, and I thought, well, that's got to go, despite the fact that we're still in the early teens.
Yeah, yeah.
So, not a proud moment. I have no defense. I don't know what was going on, but I can't even get the day and the month right, let alone the year. It's a great sign for how solid this 365 will be.
There you have it. Off to a roaring start.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing you can hang your hat on going into February. Which, according to me, should be any minute now.
Any time.
That's exactly why my clocks and calendars are not selling over on Etsy.
Yes, yes, they have it. Yes, well, speaking of all the 2018-ness of things, we're going to do maybe a shorter show. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
I say that. You know, shorter. You know, I mean, it's all relative.
The last couple have been coming in at 2 hours. Admittedly, I didn't experience all of the Christmas episode, but my understanding from the replay was that it went on for quite a while. So if you look at our trend from our early ones, we're getting chattier.
So, well, you know, I used to try to adhere to the rundown and try to keep the conversation on track, but I quickly learned that was futile. And
am I a herding cats experience in your life?
No, it's not that. It was as we had spent like 20 minutes on the camping movie.
Indian Summer.
yes. As we pulled about 20 minutes on that one, I thought that's, you know, and it was all like, yeah, I needed to hear this. I needed to hear this about that. So I thought, well, you know, I don't want to cut out anything that we're gonna want to hear. So
with a little luck, maybe both our listeners were into it too.
Yes,
they've
indeed.
Hung in this long. Indeed. In that case, welcome to both of you to 2018.
Wow,
cheers.
They're all related to you. So. Anyway,
there goes our mystique.
Yeah.
So, yes, in the spirit of 2018, let's talk about the 2018 we're looking forward to.
Things that we are looking forward to. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think I started last week, so I think it's your turn to start.
Oh, well, I'm going to open with a really big bucket catch-all, which might come off as a bit of a cheat, but the era of the superhero continues, and how can you deny it in any of its mediums? And I'm so excited about every superhero movie and TV show. I don't know how to break those down. There's so many coming. There's I got 6 or 7 movies and three or four TV series.
Yeah.
Marvel's bringing we've got Black Panther and Ant-Man and Wasp. We get Deadpool 2. Over at DC, there's reports of an Aquaman and a Flash. The Incredibles are returning this year from Disney Pixar. The Incredibles 2. And everything builds up to, well, not everything builds up, but the center tentpole of the year for me is the Infinity War. And a reminder, if you're not joining in with us, it's not too late to join in the countdown to Infinity War, which is watching a sequential Marvel Universe movie every week as we build up towards the Infinity War release. So I think we're 3 or 4 in at this point. We've got them all over on the Facebook page. You can follow along with us. And we're going to record a special episode at the end of the month for the first 5 January episodes. So it's almost like school, but it's okay. It's cool school. So go out and watch 5 really cool movies and then meet back here. We'll discuss.
Well, 3 really cool movies and Incredible Hulk and Iron Man 2.
That's also fair.
Yeah, let's not go crazy here.
I was overhyping. I can't lie. And then over on the TV side, there's some cool stuff because we get that Cloak and Dagger series finally coming out.
Yeah,
Black Lightning has just premiered. I haven't seen it, but it's on my PVR. And I'm looking forward
mine
to
as
it.
Well.
And we get a second season of Jessica Jones on Netflix, and that first season really stands out on the Netflix series as one of my favorites of the whole run. And
excellent.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do in a season 2 of that. I'm hoping they don't mess it up, but I'm looking forward to it.
So was that the second one? So you had Daredevil, then Jessica Jones, or?
It went Daredevil, Jessica Jones.
Okay.
Luke Cage. Did we get Daredevil 2 before we got Iron Fist?
Ooh.
I think that's the order.
Yeah.
I don't think we got Daredevil before Luke Cage.
Okay. I'm not sure.
I think it went Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Daredevil 2, Iron Fist, Defenders. Final answer.
There you go. All right. I am not yet finished the first season of Daredevil, so I'm sure I will get there soon and check all this stuff out.
It's fantastic. When you do get to Jessica Jones,
cool.
See if your lady will join you. Sarah loved it. It's her favorite series of the bunch.
Cool.
I know it's kind of a cheat, but because I just named like 12 different things when we're each doing 5 each, but just, you know, I didn't want to spend my 5-item list having lots of it be superhero stuff. I'm trying to bring a little more diversity to this.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just say, you know what, let's just take all the superhero stuff off the board. It's an amazing time to be watching this stuff. It's the new face of the action film of the 80s instead of, you know, muscle-bound people who can shoot unlimited bullets while not getting shot themselves. We've created a world in which the laws of physics don't apply for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And thus we're free to enjoy it. So I love me some capes and tights, and I'm looking forward to more of the same for the next year.
Nice.
Over to you, sir.
Okay, so one of the first ones I'm going to come out with is I'm always a fan of anything to do with heists.
Mm.
You know, when we talk movie genres, to me, if there's a heist in it, I'm in. I am in. And yep. So with that in mind, I, of course, am very much looking forward to Ocean's 8.
Nice.
I loved me the remake of Ocean's 11.
Yes.
12 and 13.
They're a little rougher on the edges.
They have their moments.
Yeah.
It's a shame that those moments are wrapped up in 2.5 hours of blather, but you know. Yes, Ocean's 8, I'm quite looking forward to. And this, of course, stars Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Mindy Kaling, Sarah Paulson, Rihanna, Helena Bonham Carter, among others. And and what I love is that, unlike the Ghostbusters, I haven't heard people losing their shit because there's women in their movie.
Now, at the risk of being cynical, is it just because nobody knows it's coming yet?
I you know what?
Once the ad campaigns start, is the shitstorm going to follow?
Oh, the ad campaign's been going for a couple of months now. There's been trailers all over the place with this. And I think it's a different demo, you know, and
it's not the same sacred goose that
fortunately this one doesn't appeal to the same idiots that lost their nonsense about the Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah,
it's like it
looks great, and like you said, like Ocean's 11 is a movie that if I'm, you know, Sunday afternoon tripping through channels and find it on TBS edited and commercialed and I'll still watch that thing beginning to end, and I'll still say half the lines of dialogue along with the movie. That's a great, great movie. So I'm fingers crossed for Ocean's 8. Sandy Bullock, come on. If you had to pick somebody to take over for the Clooney role and bring a bunch of people together and pull it off, I'd bet on Sandy.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That's great. My next is Ready Player One.
Yes.
I am excited. It's not often that I can have a, well, based on the novel conversation before a movie comes out, because I don't read as much as I should. But in this case, I on the heels of, I saw the trailer last summer and then went out and grabbed the book to read it so that I knew what the heck was going on. And you know, having read the book, it's interesting to watch the trailer again because there's stuff in the trailer that there are scenes that are not in the book. So it's clear they're taking some license, but I mean, it's Spielberg, so there's a lot of trust and faith involved. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. I think that there are ways in which the book could be stretched out to make it a better cinematic experience.
Right.
And I trust Steven Spielberg to do that. So it's one of those ones that's I'm looking forward to it, but my fingers are crossed at the same time.
Yeah.
with the all the superhero stuff I mentioned before. I mean, that stuff I know is going to be great. I can bank on that being something that in 2018 I'm going to say I saw that, it was awesome. This one is, I'm looking forward to it and I'm hoping it's great. So that's how I view this one, is a little different.
Very nice, very nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. My next one up is actually going to be coming to us on Netflix. And it's a series brought to us by the lead singer I guess a lot of people referred to them as emo, but I always thought they were a rock band. Jared Way, who brought us, this is, gosh, about just over 10 years ago now, if I remember correctly, brought us the Umbrella Academy. And then the next year brought us the Umbrella Academy Dallas, which was nuts. I'm
so confused right now. I'm lost. Bring me home.
The Umbrella Academy? Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Dark Horse. you know there are other comics companies other than Marvel and DC, right?
I do. Okay. Just
making sure.
I do, and I have heard of the Umbrella Academy. I just don't know where this is going. Edge of my seat.
They've got a series coming out on Netflix this year. And so this one, here's the Rolling Stone write-up on it. A decade ago, My Chemical Romance singer-songwriter Jared Way started writing the Dark Horse comic book, The Umbrella Academy. And so basically this was a mix of his fascination with superheroes, science fiction, surrealism, teen angst, and prog rock. Like, This is like a stew with all my favorite ingredients in it, basically. Okay. So they did try to turn this into a movie, which never would have flown. And finally ended up landing on the more logical TV pitch. So I'd start one of the stars is Ellen Page, and she stars as one of a team of these superpowered adopted siblings, whose tumultuous upbringing has warped both their adult lives and reality itself. And the first series was actually called Apocalypse Suite, and I like to think of it as Grant Morrison meets the Power Pack.
Wow.
Yeah. That's actually a pretty good way to put it.
You tell me that, and you tell me that Ellen Page is doing it and coming to television, and I'm in.
Yeah, right. And great. Yeah, so yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Not sure what the timing is of it, but I'm in. Umbrella Academy, I'm in. Done.
That's cool. Who's carrying that? What's it on?
Netflix.
Oh, cool. Yep. Do you know when it drops?
I have no idea.
I don't expect you to speak specifically to their PR, but you happen to know.
Here's what I know. 2018.
It's coming 2018. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm marking it in my calendar.
To be fair, they may. Yeah, exactly. You can buy one on Etsy. But be careful because it's all on that calendar. It's already February.
That's cool. I will absolutely watch for that. That's awesome. My next one, it feels weird to pick. You just hate the way that we're bludgeoned to death with sequels and everything old is new again, but I can't help it. I'm excited about Roseanne coming back to television. I think that'll be great. They're coming back, I think, in March, and everybody's returned, including both Beckys, with the second Becky, Sarah Chalk, is in a secondary role.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I think she's playing a surrogate. She's going to play a surrogate mother for the first Becky.
Wow. That's just perfect.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
But I mean, Roseanne's back, and Laurie Metcalf and John Goodman both return as well. I'm in. Like, yeah, that's you. Okay, I will make the popcorn. Somebody give me a date.
Shut up and take my money.
Hold on. I early Roseanne is fantastic, and that show got bogged down in a lot of problems in its later years, but you know, quality never waned that much. The last season was a little weird, but I always respected them for doing something different.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the finale was definitely different. So I don't know what they do to put everybody back together, including Dan, you know, who died. So spoiler alert, but I don't know how
he got better.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be great. I want to see what happens when you give Roseanne an opportunity to revisit that world without an ongoing battle with other producers and network and et cetera, and just green lights to do what she wants. I'm excited.
Yeah, and that's a wise choice for them to make. You know, it's at the end of the day, it lets her do kind of a put up or shut up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on the heels of, it makes me nervous that this is going to be a trend, but it's been great to rejoin Will and Grace X number of years later, and everybody comes back, and look how great that world is. And now you've got Roseanne, and everybody's coming back, and look how great that world is. There's talking about The Office coming back, but I don't know how many people they have. That's the one that scares me a little bit, because now we're doing the movie trend, which is let's do whatever we've done before. And TV is always a couple years behind whatever the movies are doing. And now TV is doing a let's revisit something that we've already got before. But, well, we can't get everybody back. But that's okay. People just get excited at the name.
Yeah, well, and that's...
I mean, yeah. You know, that's how you get a Hawaii Five-O. That's how you get a SWAT.
Hey, I'll take 5-0. No,
well,
no.
It's worth it for the theme song.
Well, yeah, but I mean the way that their updates actually it was quite interesting, and the difference is the, you know, this kind of series return, you know, and over the last number of years, you know, there's been a lot of you know, over the last couple of decades, really. You know, ever since Bob Newhart woke up in the bed with Suzanne Plichette, everyone's been like, "Damn, we gotta really land the plane on this on this finale." And you know, and so there was always this idea of we've really gotta put a button on it, and and you know, even thinking back to like when. You know, I remember when like Michael J. Fox left Spin City, and yes. they did the thing where he was, you know, he had gone off to Washington D.C. and he was talking about this junior senator from Ohio named Keaton, and it was like this big sort of sense of finality to what was going on there, right? As well as that you know, linking things to the past. And so now we're getting, instead of just references to the past, now we're getting the past coming back. And sometimes it works, you know, it's worked well with Will and Grace. Less so with the X-Files.
Yeah, that was one I was thinking about, was the X-Files and what's the David Lynch one?
Twin Peaks.
There you go.
That one, you know, has been kind of hit and miss. Yeah, but you know, so was the original show. honestly, yeah. And that's you know, the thing with Twin Peaks is that's always a love hate thing anyway, and and so you know, and it's pretty out there, and that's, and sometimes it's out there just so that it can be out there, so. I get it was a show that was polarizing from the beginning. Yes. And so if the new stuff isn't polarizing, then I don't understand why, you know, it's like they're not doing it right. I get that.
It's interesting. I have such mixed feelings about the way this is kind of growing, because if it, you know, I don't need to revisit every sitcom that ever happened.
Yeah.
But if I get, you know,
but you're going to,
but if I can get, you know, a few, like, think about the way they do Sherlock on BBC, where you get these kind of, it's a series, but you get three episodes a season every 3 years, and they're done like mini movies. Imagine that approach on Netflix to something like Firefly, and holy crap, does the hair on my arm stand up.
Yeah, no.
That gets me excited. But I have a pitch, incidentally. Fox, drop me a line.
But you see, there's the difference, right? Is with Firefly, there was unfinished business. You know, the difference between that and Will and Grace, you know, Will and Grace spent half their first episode basically, you know, invalidating the finale that they'd done, because the finale had too much finality.
Yes.
And this is true. So, you know, when you get a show like Firefly, well, there's a horse of a different color, because now you're talking about something where there was unfinished business, and they barely got their beaks wet, and you know, whereas like Will and Grace finished The Office, finished, you know, like they really kind of shut the whole thing down. And
they did. Well, Will and Grace ended with, didn't they re-meet years later, both dropping their kids off at college? And that was how they awkwardly ran into one another for the first time in X number of years?
I'll be honest, I've never seen it. The closest I came was reading a recap of it.
My recollection, but somewhere there's an angry person yelling at their iPhone right now.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they had lost touch. I don't know. It was set up as final, but as judging from that first episode of the return, where they spent the whole time, you know, basically covering off all the bases and saying, no, actually that didn't happen, this happened, and then they all looked at the camera and said, you got it. I mean, it was amusing, but you know, it's. Yeah. They got to do it. Nobody else gets to pass that particular gate. And so, you know, that's going to be a challenge, you know. Do we see Jim and Pam back in back at Dunder Mifflin in the same jobs, and, you know, nothing has... I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know either. That's the one that one feels like we're rolling dice.
Yeah.
That's hard to kind of picture. And then, you know, what other shows do you go back to? What other? And I think we've got another episode in the making here.
Absolutely.
Both going to go off and brainstorm this and have to meet back for five shows that are worth a revisit. Not yes. a reboot, but a revisit.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
I think so. Yeah. Everybody, you heard it here first. This episode is coming this year. Put this on your list of things you're looking forward to in 2018.
There you have it. You're right. It's a trend to watch with a bit of side eye.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to go horribly awry, and we're going to get some real lemons out of it. For every Will and Grace, we're going to get did they really need to?
Yeah.
You know, it'll be what it's going to be, but in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy Roseanne coming out this year.
Yeah,
I know is Laurie Metcalf and John Goodman are going to do television again, so stand back and enjoy it.
Yes.
End of conversation.
Absolutely. All right.
Third, sir.
My next one is coming to HBO March 25th, and it stars Bill Hader. The other thing that I like is it comes from one of the producers of Silicon Valley, which is I've really been enjoying. Alec Berg. Because that's how you have to say his name, because that's how they said it on Seinfeld. And so basically it's there's elements of it that kind of make me think of
Major League?
No. Hitman, Cusack,
Oh, Gross Point Blank?
Thank you.
No problem.
But
I may be thinking of a different thing. Keep going.
Hitman going through a crisis, basically. And so it's a show called Barry.
We're thinking of different things. I'm excited.
There you go. It's a hitman. You know, Hitman goes through an existential crisis and decides to become an actor. Bill Hader plays a professional assassin who is on a job in Los Angeles, and he gets bitten by the acting bug, and so he wants to quit the life. His handler, played by Stephen Root, thank you. Isn't ready to let him walk away from the job just yet. Neither are his Chechen mobster clients, and of course, lots of inside baseball, showbiz jokes, identity crises, and gunfire ensue. And it's just I'm a big Bill Hader fan, so anything that gets him in front of a camera is okay by me, but this sounds like a lot of fun.
That is really cool. I was thinking of a different thing. I'd seen some ads for it recently, and I am blanking on who the man in the booth is. It seems like a show about a baseball announcer. And it felt a lot like Major League with Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker, yes.
And I'm gonna have to look that up. I just saw a little 30-second commercial for it the other day, and it looked funny. And that's where I thought you were going when you said Bill Hader. I was picturing him in the booth, and now I don't think it's him. So you can't tell the difference between years. I can't tell the difference between actors and commercials. Well, which is a bad problem to have on a media podcast.
Well, there you have it. And you know, it's my feeling on this is, you know, I was a big Bill Hader fan, a big Will Forte fan, and Forte definitely made his post SNL thing really, really cool. And you know, at first I was like, oh, okay, MacGruber, really. This is what we're doing. You know, after having seen him in the last couple of years on Last Man on Earth, you know, it's like, and now Hader's got a thing. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. No, there's something, I don't want to say satisfying, but there's something so gratifying about when SNL folk leave and try to start the next chapter and they actually land on something.
Yes.
Where you're like, oh, thank God. Because you hate seeing, you know, funny, talented people that you really enjoyed on something leave, take that leap and not land it. It's heartbreaking. And I mean, you and I are both still upset about Me, Myself, and I.
Yeah.
Because we still want Bobby to find his thing. But, you know, so anytime any of them land, it's gold. When you look at, you know, what Tina and Amy have gone off and done, you're like, thank God.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that is cool. I've written that down on my list as something I need to look up because I didn't know anything about that. So I need to definitely look into that. Thank God I'm on this podcast.
See, this helps us so catch. Yes, this helps us catch the things that we had no idea about.
Yeah, I am going with number four. I'm gonna go with the Han Solo movie. Ooh. You know, there's so many other sequels out there, and I am generally not a fan of prequels.
Yeah,
I've heard weird rumors about things not maybe going perfectly on the set. I'm trying not to focus on that. On the heels of Rogue One.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to have other stories that take place in this universe that don't involve the Skywalker family.
Yeah. And the thing to look at is, you know, Rogue One was a pretty troubled shoot as well. So yeah. I take the things that you're hearing on that front with a grain of salt. I mean, yes, lots of stuff's happened. Yes, they replaced the directors with Ron Howard, and yes, there is extensive reshooting being done. That's just the way they do things. And mm-hmm. and you know, the thing that people forget is, like, it's funny how you know, when people are talking about the Star Wars franchise, you know, where it's the, oh, you know, the producers aren't letting the directors have their vision, and then they go and have a cow on Rian Johnson because they don't like what he did in the movie because he didn't consult with him first. And right. And you know, it's like, oh, wait, so he's to blame for that, but you guys know that the director is and you know, they have some, they have obviously have some influence, but they also have someone they're reporting to, and it's like, oh, we told you what our story is.
Yeah, hate the idea that it's just going to hit the point where the director's just the puppet of Disney proper. Let some freedom. And I think if you can, I feel like they need to relax a little when it comes to the stories that take place outside of the main, I can't say trilogy, what's a nineology, but I mean, there's the main nine films that are make up the main storyline, and I guess the prequels are kind of tied to those, but you
just need to
let people go out and do other movies in this world. And how great would it be to further explore this universe? There'd be so many story possibilities and character possibilities that take place outside of the main thorough line. And, you know, you can bring same-looking vehicles and a bunch of faceless stormtroopers into any other different showdown on any other planet and still go wild. And I'd love to see any version of that.
And at the same time, I have no problem with Kathleen Kennedy having an overarching version and saying, guys, this is what you're doing. You know, it's the same with... you know, they have the same thing with the Marvel movies, and we're still in there. But you know, I mean, we already heard Joss Whedon talk about the you know, his frustrations in that world. Mm-hmm. You know, the director is not autonomous, and
no, that's it still okay. It still has to have connective tissue, but there has to be room for some freedom and some difference. I mean, you look at something like, you look at something like Captain America: Civil War, which is played up like, I mean, that's a suspenseful kind of political thrillery kind of thing compared to some of the other ones. And then, you know, Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy are played for a lot more comedy. And in early Thor is much more of a Shakespearean kind of thing, but they all sort of live in the same umbrella, and there's room for these differences. And you need to allow the Baskin Robbins isn't 31 flavors of vanilla. You need to allow for the differences under the same umbrella.
And that's what I'm saying. Like Rogue One, it was a very different film from Force Awakens.
And so that's what makes me hopeful of what Han Solo could be.
They are leaving this room. And that little Opie Cunningham, you know, he knows a thing or two about putting a decent movie together. So
he does. And I don't see him being somebody that, you know, would lose his own vision mid-production because other people told him not to. Like, I feel like I think he'll play ball.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he'll also hold his ground when he wants to do something a certain way. And I think he's got enough of a name next to him that people can be like, well, we should probably let him try this. Like,
yeah.
That's my hope, is that we're going to get something that feels connected but a little different.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I've read one... too many web pages. I shouldn't be trusting these other random sources.
Yeah, seriously.
So I'm, but it's on my list because I'm still hopeful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want this to be great. The cast looks great.
Yeah. We've got a really good director, that picked this one up. It's, it's not like, okay, we lost the Lego Movie guys. Now where who do we go to? And it's like, I hear Uwe Boll is available. You know, it's you know they stepped up and said we need to bring someone in who knows their stuff.
At the end of the day, this could be like the second last film I get to see the Falcon fly in. So I'm gonna be there. Like that ship is a character. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned.
Oh, absolutely. So absolutely. And we get to see, I think we get to see the card game.
Well, I've heard that the ship is, it's before some of the alterations are made to it. So it's got a different shape and a different look. So,
okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Again, it's, I've heard that and 350 will buy you a paper and a copy. So
there you have it. Yeah. Indeed.
Number four, the Han Solo film. I think it's the only offering from the Star Wars universe this year. And
Han Solo, you know, solo film.
Years from now, when we look back and, you know, it's part of a sea of 45 Disney Star Wars films, it'll be interesting. But at this point, it's my one view into that universe this year, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to take it.
Nice.
Your turn, sir.
All right. So I... actually got sort of a very, very small preview of my next pick at Christmas. And because what one does at Christmas is they, of course, watch the Christmas episode of Doctor Who. And so I just need to make sure I get the name right. So there we have it. Okay, so the and this year saw the end of Peter Capaldi's reign as the Doctor, and it was another example of, you know, people losing their nonsense about
a lady. How dare they?
is it going to be Nurse Who now?
Jesus.
So they've got the first, you know, and I remember watching Doctor Who as a kid of 5 years old, and you know, watching it for years, and then coming back to it over the last bunch of series, but yeah, so the 13th Doctor, yes, she's a woman, played by Jodie Whittaker. Who is an English actress, and I believe might be no Matt Smith seemed pretty young too, so I was gonna say might be the first Doctor to be younger than me, but I don't think that's the truth.
Someday it's gonna happen, my friend.
One day,
when I'll be there to laugh.
if not before, it just happened. So So, anyway, so Jodie Whittaker is going to be the new Doctor, and already had, you know, in right after being regenerated, she immediately had a literal cliffhanger, if you want to put it that way, and as she was thrown from the TARDIS. And you know, thrown into the torrent of the time stream. So we will see what happens with that, and I will be there. I can't wait.
It's Doctor Who's the one series I've just never connected with.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because I just didn't survive the perm and rainbow scarf era where he just used to pop up and scare the hell out of me on TV Ontario after every episode of Today's Special, or what it was, but I struggle with that series. It's great that it's hit this second wind and that, you know, it's really become such a mainstream thing, but it just because it can continuously break any rule it wants, it seems to have no connective tissue. Breaks its own rules. Like if like a sci-fi series that doesn't respect its own universal laws.
Oh no, that's not this show. That's a different show, sir.
They are all
about, you know, yes, have they made adjustments in story to some of those rules? Yes, but there's always been an explanation.
There's a really great video on from Cracked on YouTube where one of the guys is breaking up with the show.
Oh, good grief. Done like
a breakup in a restaurant.
Yeah.
It's the first person view across the table as he's breaking up with the series.
Yeah.
And I will send you the link. it's one I've never connected with.
Yeah,
I
mean, no, that's fair.
If I'm going to time travel, there's going to be a quantum accelerator or a DeLorean involved. Those are, or possibly a phone booth. Those are my three. But
well, it technically is a phone booth.
Well, this is true. I was trying to go Bill and Ted's on you there, but you know, I want to like it. The couple, I admit that I have not seen a lot of it. I've seen a few episodes, but I just,
yeah,
it's one of those things I just haven't connected with.
Yeah, that's fair.
I wish I could. I mean, end of the day, we can't all watch everything and love everything.
Absolutely.
But, I wish I could just, I can't hook into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you, you watch Community, right? All through there, many seasons?
Most of it.
Did you get to the parts where they started to go into Inspector Space-Time?
I think I remember seeing some of that, yes.
The last couple of seasons, Abed and Troy were obsessed with a show called Inspector Space-Time.
Yes.
Which is a little-known British sci-fi series about a time-traveling inspector and his psychic constable. And, yeah. It wasn't hard to connect the dots on that one.
Oh, there. Yeah. No. No. Yeah, fully intended. Yeah, so I did. Mm-hmm. I do remember seeing those ones.
Yeah, those are great. That is cool. And it, I mean, you come back to this point of the, you know, somewhere the neckbeards are losing their mind that there's a female Doctor Who and everybody hasn't recovered from the female Ghostbusters yet, and Ocean's 8 is looming in the distance. Like, yeah. Just I don't, you know, things I'm not looking to in 2018. People who just can't make peace with the fact that it's okay that maybe, you know, some ladies would like to play in some of the universes that we enjoy too.
Yeah.
I don't know why that seems to be such a threat to so many people.
It just, yeah. Yeah. It you know, to me, it just, it helps with the culling of the Twitter feed and or the Facebook friends list. So.
Yeah, it is nice to know who to drop and or stop following.
Yeah, exactly. It's just
it's nice to have these quick litmus tests.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for your clarity.
Absolutely. Maybe this is the season I need to join Doctor Who now, just to make this my favorite, just to drive some people nuts.
See that? Oh, that's
just to awesome. Antagonize the trolls.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on the heels of my less than wonderful, this is such an awkward segue. All right. So on the heels of me saying I just don't get Doctor Who, let me really lower the bar and dip into a reality TV show that's sequelized and coming back again. Trading Spaces is coming back on TLC.
Sequelize? What?
Trading Spaces is returning with most of the original cast of designers, carpenters, and host.
Trading Spaces.
10 years ago on TLC, it was one of the first home reno shows that really brought it into the reality TV world. They would take a couple of people who lived on the same street, a couple of friends. They'd trade houses for 48 hours to redo one of the rooms in each other's homes with $1,000 budget or something ridiculous like that and the help of a designer. And quite often the designer would just go wildly off course with their own vision, and they made some crazy and bizarre things. Everybody's coming back and they're doing it again. And it's just announced in the last week, which is why it's so fresh in my head. But in the 2000s, when Saturday morning cartoons started disappearing, this was the show that I ended up tripping across while sitting there on the couch in my PJs with my bowl of cereal. And if I get a chance to catch up with Paige and Genevieve, who am I to say no to that? Because I wonder how those ladies are, where they've been, and how much they miss me. So it's a chance to to revisit. It's a weird little show. I'm curious to see what they do with it. The trailer is pretty funny. It's dopey, harmless fun.
Yeah.
And that's the part of it that I think I appreciate and miss. And it'll be goofy. On the heels of the conversation we had about a Will and Grace and a Roseanne versus an X-Files, this one I could see being the one that, like, they come back and we get a season out of it or two maybe, and then they're like, okay, thanks for dropping by.
Yeah, you
can go now. So while it's here, yeah, this one could be a train wreck, but regardless, I'm still planning to tune in and have a laugh. Just mind, I take it you're not a big Trading Spaces fan.
I have
you have no idea how to respond to that question.
This is the longest I've ever quote unquote talked about Trading Spaces. I think it's all made up. Was this what's his face?
Ty, whatever his name is.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, before he was moving buses, he was
The carpenter. Oh, that's right. Moved up. Yeah, right. That was Extreme Home Makeover, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So
and I should at some point pretend to not recognize the name of one of these reality shows just to save a little face. But yes, yeah. The guy in Extreme Home Makeover.
Ty Pennington is the name.
Pennington, okay. That's him. Yep.
Okay, so wait, so he...
he was the carpenter that worked on the show.
Okay.
And so he's back on this show again.
And so the idea of this is that I take your house, you take my house.
They take two neighbors,
yeah.
And they trade houses for the weekend, and they literally switch keys with the host at the beginning of the show. And then they each run off to each other's homes to renovate or redecorate one of the rooms. In 48 hours. And then it ends with the reveal. And 85% of the time, people are elated and they think it's wonderful. And there are some epic crashes.
Yeah.
Like, the big problem is that eventually some of these designers just go crazy. So, you know, one of them painted the brick fireplace that they didn't want done. And another one actually glued straw to the walls. Like, some of the things they do are insane. There's some videos on YouTube of montages of, like, bad Trading Spaces reactions.
Right.
But in the early days of the I'm going to make my house better and I'm going to do it myself, this was one of the first shows to kind of do that. And it was, I think, for better or worse, it empowered a lot of people to realize that with a little bit of money, they could completely change how a space looked.
Wow.
And it'll be interesting to see what the heck they do now. But it was one of those funny, guilty pleasure shows then, and it's coming back. And
there you have it.
The part of me that remembers sitting on the couch on Saturday mornings going, oh, they're going to hate that, in between slurps of cereal, wants to see it again. My biggest concern is that they're not going to put it on Saturday mornings. I feel like it's going to be a primetime show, so it might have to become a drinking game or something like that. But I would love nothing more than to experience this again as a cereal and PJs kind of experience. And I may have to just tape it and save it for Saturday mornings so that I can do it that way. And for the record, the only reason that this show exists on my list is because networks stopped doing Saturday morning cartoons. And I think that's a point that's worth arguing.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to be mad at me for watching this crap, let's remember where the real blame lies.
Yeah. Well, which is a nice segue into my last pick, which is, speaking of cartoons, Young Justice season 3.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Okay, so of course it's been gone for a long time, which is kind of scares me to say, right? Because anyway, I've been watching them. I've got them all on DVD. It's a show for which the first season I watched with the kids. The second season, not so much. A fantastic story that never got to finish. And so when we talked about things coming back, you know, unfinished business always wins for me.
Yes. Was it left open-ended at the end of the second season? Was it just kind of canceled?
Yeah, they basically, you know, I mean, it's animation, right? So, you know, the stuff that they had done, they made ages ago.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, oh yeah, we're gonna draw that one up next week. You know, but they had a whole bunch of problems, and basically, the problem they had was that the toys weren't selling, and that's why it got canceled.
Maybe if they made better toys.
Maybe. And so, you know, with the audience not buying the toys, the show got a beating. This is now the only problem with this is where it becomes a bit more challenging to look forward to, although with us being on this side of the 49th, that could actually help us for a change.
Because we had to win eventually.
DC is basically looking at launching their own streaming service. And
of course they are.
Yeah.
Everybody
is. Because that's what people are doing. And then they're going to realize, oh, there's a reason this one was ubiquitous. And maybe we need to. Yeah. But yeah, everyone's trying to do their own thing and compete for that dollar where it's, you know, then what someone's going to do is they're going to say, hey, we can amalgamate all of these and have people pay just one fee. And then everyone's going to be like, yeah, I cut the cable cord. And it's like, yes, but now you're paying for 32 different streaming services. So you're back in. And so anyway, so yes, they're doing one, but I can't get pissed off about it because it's nice to see, it'll be nice to see the show come back because it went crazy. Like they did just so much with those characters. And
I watched the first season and I got a couple episodes into the second season and I still haven't finished that. So
yeah.
I mean, and I say this as a huge fan of Young Justice,
yeah,
the comic book. So I owe it to myself to finish the second season, and knowing that there's a third out there really certainly motivates that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it just, I mean, they turned the whole world that in which it took place on its head, and so, you know, completely. You know, moved on from these are the sidekicks to these are the heroes, and yeah. And just, you know, lots of characters brought in and that sort of thing that just kept it always interesting, and so yeah, looking forward to seeing what they can do with a third season on this.
We should probably back up and explain for those who don't know. Young Justice was a once upon a time, DC had a whole bunch. DC is the home of the superheroes that you know from Justice League, that kind of thing, the super friends of your youth. And they all had sidekicks back in the 60s, and so they made a book that put those sidekicks together called Teen Titans.
Yes.
And then they kind of revisited the idea in the late 90s, early 2000s with a team called Young Justice. And it was Robin and Superboy and Kid Flash. And then there was a Wonder Girl and an Arrowette and a ghost figure called Spoiler. And this series ran for 50 something issues. And more recently, Warner Brothers came up with a cartoon that kind of celebrated these folks called Young Justice.
Yeah.
And
now, when we say more recently, it was nearly a decade ago.
Was it that long ago? Damn it. Oh, it hurts whenever somebody brings out a calendar.
Yeah. See, there it is. Throw Damn. That milk out.
Yeah. This is why my Etsy sales are down. I'm looking forward to that. It was, I thought the stories were pretty cool from the first season that I saw. The animation was less offensive than a lot of the other stuff I'd seen. There's just so much computer-based or over-animated that it was nice to see something that, you know, kind of felt a little, I don't know, call it retro, call it classic.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. Yeah. It's that classical animation style, and I mean, you know, there's a lot more computer than we think in this show, but
totally. But it just doesn't. You don't feel it as much.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, that's great. I will look forward to that. And you said that's coming in March?
No.
Did you have a date?
Nope.
Did I just jump back to like four entries ago?
Well, yeah. Once. The streaming service is planned for this year, but I don't think they've announced a date yet. And I think, you know, that's the thing with a lot of these things is you're going to get stuff where it's going to come out at some point. You know, there's some that have a hard street date already put in, but there's also but then you do get a lot that are going to be, you know, as soon as this happens and that happens, and you know, as soon as the first fall replacement series gets canceled, this one's in, you know, that sort of thing.
It's I mean, it's hard to predict, right? I mean, we'll get to the end of the year and we'll do our best of 2018, and you want to bet that everything that we've named now doesn't make our best of 2018 list? Like,
you can't
predict it. It's all just, this is what's rumored to come out. And I think part of that is when we talked about our 2017, we were able to talk about books, we were able to talk about music, and that's harder to predict. I mean, TV shows and movies have such a lead up that they're able to be announced early on and you know they're coming, but it's hard to get excited about something in advance that you don't know what it's going to be or when it's going to come out. So I think it's a little bit of a limited scope, but there's still a lot of stuff, media consumption wise, coming that we can get really excited about.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. But it's certainly more selective view. Did you have any alternates that,
I did dig into the alternate pool. I don't think I had that many. You hit on Ready Player One, and you know, Black Lightning kind of got folded into the superhero thing. I felt Young Justice was different. I felt Young Justice was different enough to warrant its own place.
Well, and I also never said it, so.
Well, there is that.
If I'm gonna do my umbrella catch. Alternate wise, I Wreck-It Ralph 2 is back this year.
Ah.
I mean, that's another fun sequel. I mean, Incredibles 2 is coming back, but Wreck-It Ralph 2, he apparently breaks the internet this time. That's wacky fun. And, you know, same cast are back, Sarah Silverman and John C. Reilly. And one I just found out about in the last week while researching this, apparently there's a Bad Boys 3 coming. It's Bad Boys for Life. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence are coming back to reprise the roles for which we love them.
Yeah, there you go.
Didn't see that coming. If I do not mention Wrinkle in Time, my wife will kill me, but she's really excited about this.
I did have that
Did you read that in school?
I read it. I don't know that I read it for school. I just read it because it was like, hey, is that about time travel? That was the way I thought as a kid.
Well, I think I'm going to need to read it. Sarah's dug out her old copy. She loved it in school, loved the book, has seen a previous movie adaptation, and is really looking forward to seeing what this one looks like.
Yeah,
that the cast is as big as it is, and the grandeur is as big as it is, she's really excited because, again, it's another one of these things where the length of the movie isn't supported by the source material, so someone's getting creative in there somewhere. And it'll be interesting to see what that becomes.
Yeah, there were three books, I believe. I only read the first one, but it was fantastic.
Oh, there's three books.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm going to have to grill her more. Catch me up.
And I may be wrong about the number. It might be more than that, but I know that I'm pretty sure there was at least three.
Otherwise, I mean, there's so many things coming back this year. You can't name them all, but we get another Mission Impossible. We get another Jurassic Park. We get another Avatar, finally. But Mary Poppins is returning.
Yes, yes.
Intriguing source of curiosity. I don't know. I mean, not enough to make my list, but when it comes by, I'm definitely going to go, hey, what up?
Yeah.
And then over on TV, there is there's a series on NBC coming called Good Girls. Christina Hendricks is on it.
Oh, yes.
Three women who rob a grocery store and then consequences ensue. I don't know. I'm curious. It's Christina Hendricks, so
yeah.
Get my attention. I've loved her since Firefly.
Yeah.
Not that everything relates to Firefly, but it kind of does, and we should all just accept it. And the other one that I kind of missed with that superhero catch-all is that Krypton series is coming to Sci-Fi. I don't know what to think of it, and again, prequels kind of, because you know where they're going. But somebody, one of the write-ups described it as Game of Thrones with flying cars, and all right, if you're going to go that way, well played. You have my attention.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of that, but when it goes by, I'm going to have to watch an episode. So it was in the background of my mind. It was on the list. So those are
nice.
Kind of weird peripheral stuff, but I thought I'd put them there. You feel like your alternates are?
My alternates are spent.
Okay. Well, beautiful. Shall we move on to a couple of trivia cards?
Yes.
Wrap up here? All right. As ever, Paul and I will now test our mental prowess against a box of TV Trivial Pursuit cards from 1991, I think.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to back up.
Do it.
It wasn't on my alternate list, but I wasn't counting it because it already came out. But you know what? It came out last Friday. So so it is the new Joe Satriani album, What Happens Next. It is Joe with Glenn Hughes from Deep Purple and Chad Smith, drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And it's a great it's another great instrumental guitar album from Joe with a really cool backing band. And it's been on fairly constant rotation, I was kind of like, oh no, that already came out. But then I was like, yeah, but it just came out last week.
Right on. That totally counts. Good on you.
So there we go.
Well, if we're going to get musical, Sarah and I are taking my parents to see Rod Stewart this summer. So woohoo.
The very first concert I went to see, Rod Stewart.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Maple Leaf Gardens.
As Sarah put it, well, I guess we can cross that off our bucket list. But all right. So jumping over to the wonderful world of trivia. As ever, we have six categories per card, and Paul and I will do our best to win each card. I think there's only a couple times that we've lost a card. So fingers crossed, 2018 will continue in that proud tradition.
Yes.
First category, classics. What 50s sitcom character managed the General Insurance Company? Oh, boy.
Oh.
50s sitcom character.
Ozzie Nelson.
Yeah, oh, okay. Let's see. Jim Anderson. Who the hell's that?
Oh, might be Father Knows Best.
That is interesting.
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest with you. Where did my searchy box thing go?
I just Googled here, but that brought up a lot of current day Jim Anderson, so I'll leave it up to you while I ask the next one. I don't want to see Jim Anderson on LinkedIn. I want to see Jim Anderson as part of
Well, check if he runs the insurance company.
That'd be trippy. Sitcoms. What Adam's Family character's idea of tranquility was Hemlock on the Hearth and My Wife Feeding the Piranha? Well, that has got to be Gomez,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it has to be Gomez Adams, yes.
Gomez Adams. We're back on the board.
There we go.
Any luck on the Jim Anderson front?
What was the name of the insurance company?
General Insurance Company. I will turn to drama. What 11-year-old primetime soap did no location filming in its hometown in 1989? What 11-year primetime soap did no location filming in its hometown in 1989? I'm going out on a limb and saying Santa Barbara.
Okay.
You're in luck, because my mother was an All My Children fan, and when one of the actresses left to join another soap, she followed her. So that meant that my childhood had an unhealthy amount of both All My Children and Santa Barbara. Where Robin Wright first got her start, incidentally.
There you go.
Dallas. God damn it. I was so proud. I gave it such a backstory.
You really did. Yeah, yeah.
I really led us astray, took you by the hand, and led you down the garden path, and then crapped the bed. I apologize.
In a bit of backup, speaking of Dallas, I believe yes. Jane Wyatt was in one of the seasons of Dallas. She also played Jim Anderson's wife on Father Knows Best.
Oh, damn.
And Jim
Anderson. Now we know where the rest of the card might be going, because now we've tied the, we can start connecting the dots.
Jim was played by Robert Young. So
what animators gave the world Yogi Bear and the Flintstones? Is that not Hanna-Barbera?
That is Hanna-Barbera.
Hanna-Barbera, beautiful. Oh, here we go. Here's a gimme. This is Stars. Who owns TBS, the world's most watched cable network, in 1990? That'd be Mr. Ted Turner.
I believe it was still Ted Turner.
Ted Turner. All right, we're back on the board. We're 3-2, so we got to win this one. Oh, shit. Wild card. When was the first timeout for a TV ad called by a pro football referee? 57, 62, or 67? Oh, man.
Stupid sports ball questions. I'm going to say 62.
I have no reason to argue with you, so let's go with it. 1957. God damn it. Stupid. I think that means we lost that card. 3-3, ties go to the house. All right. Let's try and win it back on the next one.
Yeah.
Classics. What did defiant black-eyed smokers say about switching brands in... Tarryton ads? Tarryton. T-A-R-E-Y-T-O-N ads. So I'm assuming we're talking about cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming we're talking about people refusing to switch brands. Is this kind of an over my dead body kind of thing, which would be ironic if they're smoking?
I'd rather fight than switch.
I'd rather fight than switch. Holy
Are you
crap.
Kidding me?
You nailed it.
Well, now I know where that comes from.
Wow. What? Okay, let's drink to that. That is bravo. Hang on now. We need to pause.
That's actually frightening because I was just joking.
little shout out, cheers to my man on the other end of this microphone.
Wow.
That is fantastic. Bravo. I do remember the ad campaign now that you say it.
You know, I only remember the term. The term used to get used a lot as a, you know, someone is using a thing, and so they would apply that saying. That would be the cute headline. Hmm. You know, I remember reading an article about Richie Blackmore saying why he played a Fender Strat instead of a Les Paul, and it was because he'd rather fight than switch. Or I don't know that he actually said that, or that they put that as the headline. But that stuck with me, and so when I was hearing this, it made me think of that of that line, and so that's funny.
That's funny. I can't believe that. All right. Sitcoms. What Laverne and Shirley star played Jack Klugman's secretary on The Odd Couple?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I'm betting it's not Al Waxman.
So wait. Okay, so it was someone from Laverne and Shirley who played...
Jack Klugman's secretary on The Odd Couple.
On The Odd Couple. Oof.
So.
I'm
blanking on the name
Penny
of the
Marshall?
Actresses.
Well, it's Penny Marshall or Cindy Williams, I'm sure.
Oh, wow. I went Cagney and Lacey in my mind.
Oh, that's why you said Al Waxman. Okay, that makes sense.
Well, no, who was the chief on Cagney and Lacey?
I'm not sure, but I think at one point Al Waxman worked with them somehow. I never watched Cagney and Lacey, so I don't really know.
Okay. One of them was the chief, I thought it was Al Waxman. It was Al Waxman or Ed Asner played the chief, but I think it was Al Waxman. That's not the point.
Ed Asner was not on Cagney and Lacey. Al Waxman was. Yeah.
All right. So jumping back on topic and ignoring my random stray, Laverne and Shirley. So, yeah, you like Laverne for this?
Well, see, the reason I say that is I think Gary Marshall was involved in the series. He definitely was. I mean, it was his show.
I could see Laverne being a funnier counterpoint to Klugman. Shirley would have got walked all over. Laverne would have been tough and funny.
Yeah, and she would have been kind of the goofy character, right? Like, yeah.
Penny Marshall. All right, 2 for 2. We're back in the game here. Drama. What was Galen Adams' nickname on Gunsmoke? Oh, boy. Can we get my dad on the phone? Can I phone a friend?
You don't need to use a lifeline.
Nickname on Gunsmoke.
I got nothing.
Hoss
here.
Butch?
Yes, Hoss Butch.
Doc. It was the third. The third of every Western.
Yes,
was
Doc. Exactly.
There was a Hoss, a Butch, and a Doc. Kids and Games. What panelists on I've Got a Secret and To Tell the Truth also hosted 23 game shows, tops in TV history? Okay, so who's the most common game show host?
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I mean, there's more people than...
You get into the Wink Martindales and the Monty Halls and the...
Okay. Monty Hall would be...
Want to go Monty?
I think that makes sense.
He was a panelist before he was a host. Does that matter?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. You want to go Wink? Time's up. Somewhere, somebody right now is on their way to work, listening to their iPhone. They're mad at us over taking this long on this topic. Wink? Wink it is. Bill Cullen. Never heard of him. You?
No, they made him up.
Okay. All right. What former Saturday Night Live star appeared on a stamp from Grenada? Whoa. What former Saturday Night Live star appeared on a stamp from Grenada? I have nothing. We would assume, one would assume that they're from Grenada if they appeared on a stamp. So who would that be? In the absence of that, does it instead become like the Coneheads were made a stamp? Or...
Huh.
You know, I don't know. Got anything?
I got nothing. I'm at a loss.
Bill Murray?
Yes, go with Bill Murray.
Now, as part of this, we're going to accept that if it's a character that the person played, we're still going to get points for this answer.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's our cop-out. Eddie Murphy. God damn it. Well, I think we've lost this card. Bringing it on home, wild card. What company's copiers did Brother Dominic shill for in TV ads? Well, it doesn't matter. We've already lost the card. Xerox?
Sure.
Xerox.
Yeah. Were there any other? What was the answer to the Grenada one?
It was Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Sorry. I should probably preface these with the answer is. So it's a little more clear. Because you probably can't tell the difference between me brainstorming incorrectly and me giving answers.
He said five things and then moved on to the next question.
Yes. We lost both cards. That is a...
Damn it.
That is a horrible, horrible harbinger of doom for 2018.
Yes. We need another card.
Oh, okay. Talk me into it.
Yep.
Are we going to go till we win?
Is that our basically, yeah.
Strategy?
Yeah.
All right. What type of music did Peter Gunn dig?
Jazz.
Jazz. Ooh, I love it. Sitcom. What's the highest rating The Cosby Show attained in South Africa? First, 10th, or 20th?
20th? Say 10th. Or yeah, no, it's 10th or 20th, yeah.
What do you want to do?
Go for 20th.
First.
Really?
Well, that's predictable.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a popular show. How was it not? All right, drama. Who was Miss Ellie Ewing's first grandson? Who was Miss Ellie Ewing's first grandson? So we're in Dallas. And yeah. Ellie Ewing's first grandson. Miss Ellie is, was he JR's ex or JR's mom?
JR's mom.
Okay, so then wouldn't that make it Bobby?
Yeah, Bobby.
Or no, what's the older one?
I thought Bobby was the older one.
Okay.
I don't know.
John Ross Ewing III. Damn it. Kids and Games. Hey, good news. This is about a cartoon. We got a chance. What cartoon character, on finding himself in the French Foreign Legion, remarked, "To think that the furry Legion has gone ape." What cartoon character, on finding himself in the French Foreign Legion, Bugs remarked, Bunny. "To think that the furry Legion has gone ape." I remember Donald getting enlisted, wasn't he? Or was it Daffy?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. That makes sense.
But, so, okay.
It sounded like a Bugs Bunny kind of situation.
But, oh, Bugs? Bugs or Daffy? No pressure. It's just weird that it's about going ape.
Yeah, I don't know.
That sounds smart-assy in a Bugs way.
Yeah, I'd say Bugs.
Bugs. McGill Gorilla. Ah, so we probably should have paid attention to the clues about going ape. What future Dynasty star debuted in London in 1946 in Ibsen's A Dollhouse? Hey, I think we lost another card. What future Dynasty star? Okay, Dynasty. Was that Jackie Collins?
What's the question? Sorry?
What future Dynasty star opened in London in 1946 in Ebsen's A Dollhouse?
Joan Collins?
Joan Collins! Yeah. We're back on the board.
Yeah, although Jackie Collins was her sister, the writer.
Oh, okay. That's how I screwed that up. Thank you. all right. Wild card. What series was based on Carl Reiner's life as a comedy writer? That'd be the Dick Van Dyke
Show. Yeah, absolutely.
That I know. All right. I think we went 3 for 3 again. It's getting painful. Doing a fourth card?
Yes.
We're going till we win. Everybody, recharge your iPhones.
Yeah.
What 50s detective female answering service was named Sam? What 50s detective female answering service was named Sam? I don't know a 50s detective, do you?
Peter Gunn.
Richard Diamond. Oh, boy. Who plays a grief counselor on the Golden Girls?
Oh, crap. We're so dead.
We're never going to bed. Everybody call him sick tomorrow. Grief counselor on... I'm going to go like Richard Lewis or something like that. Like, or is it like George Burns or Carol Burnett or... Got to be a name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, who did, let's go with somebody Betty White used to work with. Want to go like Mary Tyler Moore or something like that? Or
sure.
Betty White. What? Who plays a grief counselor on the Golden Girls? She was a grief counselor?
Oh, okay.
Oh, God damn it. We've been outwitted by the card.
Yes.
What 60s courtroom series tackled such hot topics as abortion, political blacklisting, capital punishment, and censorship? When was Perry Mason set?
Yeah, Perry Mason.
Perry Mason? The Defenders. Shit.
Oh. Well, so, the Defenders starring a pre-Brady Bunch Robert Reed.
I don't want to alarm you, but we lost that card in only 3 questions.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Remember 2017 when we were on fire?
Good times. Good times. Good times.
I was thinking just earlier about how I think we only had a couple of losses, but we were pretty much untouchable. Oops.
We were saving them all.
Kids and Games. What animated characters is the least favorite reptile of zookeeper Mr. Twiddles? Okay, this is just getting...
I got no idea.
I'm going to say Sam the Snake. Wally Gator. who was a regular on Owen Marshall, the $6 million man simultaneously? Who was a regular on Owen Marshall and the $6 million man simultaneously?
Richard Anderson.
Lee Majors. What does PBS stand for? The Public Broadcasting Station. Am I right?
System.
System? Public Broadcasting Service. God damn it. We went over 6 on that card. New right. one.
This is the last one, and this is our one.
All right. What Columbia professor was told he'd boost the image of teachers by cooperating with the rigged game show of 21?
Oh, Van.
Is this the quiz show thing?
Yes, 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 yes. So wait, it was the this is the John Turturro character. It counts if we say the actor, if we name the actor that played him, right?
I thought it was the Ray Fiennes one.
Oh, damn it! We had a question like this before, and God. So wait. He's the one. Yeah, he's the one who gets the rig. Yes, you're right. Turturro's the one who knows the answers. He knows that it was that it Ray was Ernest Fiennes Borgnine.
The one who is the guy in the booth who gets the. There's a movie called Quiz Show Kids from the 90s.
Yeah, Van. I keep wanting to say Van Buren, but that was a president.
No, it's. Yeah, I think you're right though. It's two syllables. It's Van something.
I don't know. No, wait. I keep saying Van Buren.
I got nothing.
All right.
We got dead air.
Flip it.
All right. Charles Van Doren. Oh, man. We were so close. If we ever do half points, that counts. Hey, good news, sitcom. Who once noted, we lost a daughter, Edith, but we gained a meathead?
Ah, it's Archie Bunker.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Archie.
Yep.
All right, we're coming out of our tailspin here. Drama, who did Rock Hudson portray in his first continuing TV role? Ooh. Rock Hudson portray in his first continuing TV role.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Me neither. Rock Hudson played Elvis. What do you think?
Sure.
Stuart McMillan. I bet he didn't have as many hit songs as Elvis.
Exactly.
Kids and Games. Who takes on the coyote in Hairbreadth Hurry after Roadrunner sprains a giblet? That would be Bugs Bunny.
It would have to be Bugs Bunny, yeah.
Yes, it is. All right. 2-2. Who portrayed the most famous fictitious cop from Taos, New Mexico? That's not Walker, Texas Ranger, is it? Well, no, it'd be New Mexico. See how I answered myself my question? That's why I'm glad we're not playing the version with geography.
Yeah.
Fictitious cop from Taos, New Mexico. Cops from New Mexico. I am blanking. How about you?
Yeah, ditto.
We are going down in flames tonight. Yeah. I think we should stop after two
cards.
Yes,
we should, yeah.
Dennis Weaver. Oh, boy. All right. Last nail in the coffin. What show saw Henry Gibson say, "The fact that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away"? Whoa, we're walking away from that question. Never mind. That one's from a different era, from a different time, using different language that we're not playing with anymore. So, okay. Hey, we lost, but we won because we pulled the chute before we got to the end of that card, and that's the important victory here today.
Excellent. All right, so let's wrap it up then. Comments are welcome at poppincrap@gmail.com. You can join the Facebook conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found by typing poppincrap in the little searchy box or by just going to facebook.com/poppincrap, P-O-P-N-C-R-A-P. We are on the Twitters. We are poppincrap. In addition to all these things, you can go over to our website, poppincrap.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode.
And while these are only our picks for 2018, I'm sure you've got much better. And while it's clear that we can't Trivial Pursuit our way out of a box, remember, at the end of the day, it's not worth getting upset over, because it's all just pop and crap.